Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. I'm your host. I am Dr. Bessie here sitting at the round table. Yes, this morning I think I'm going to be coasting by myself with the Holy Spirit and the Father with me and the Son. So, be ready. You never know. So here we go. I want to say welcome to each and every person this morning, mothers and daughters around the world. I have some good news. God is speaking to mothers and daughters. God is speaking to mothers and daughters around the world. And I just want to say this morning, my co-host Cynthia Oliver will not be with us this morning. She's attending a funeral, a family member. So let's lift the family up and send them our love and our blessings, and just pray that they know that God is in control, and all they have to do is trust God. And it seems like, you know, like those words, you may say, Dr. Fletcher, that's easy said than done. And I know we've all basically been through it, just about everybody you know. Have lost someone, and it does not feel good. You know, we miss them, and we have to deal with the grieving of that. So we send love out to the mother this morning and his brothers and sisters, the cancer brother. All right. On the round table this morning, we just want to say good morning, good morning, good morning. This is a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships, and our word is based on Ezekiel 16:44. You know, God said, as is the mother, comma, so is her daughter. That is so, so deep. As is the mother, so is her daughter. And you can take that and it just tear it apart, and it there's so many ways that and things that God has shown me just from those 8 words. And it just, it's amazing because we move around in life, we do things, and we don't know that we have someone watching us every second that they're in our presence, and that's your daughter. She's watching you. She's emulating. She's modeling. She doesn't know anything else when she's a baby but what she sees. So, you know, mothers, we have to be a little careful. And as we grow and get older, we realize and we change and try to do better. So this morning, I would like to just thank God for the opportunity to be here. Father God, and this morning, I just want to say thank you. Father, I just want you to know that we appreciate you. We appreciate you sacrificing your son, Jesus, on our behalf, that we may be saved and that we would have the life that you designed for us. And Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that comes along with us each and every day, that guides us and directs us and counsels us and tell us what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, it's just amazing that any answers that we want, that we could seek out the Holy Spirit and he'll give us an answer. Father God, I just thank you for your creativity you designed such a uniqueness that no one else can match that. There is no one else but God. And God, when I look at all of your creation, I am just in awe. When I look at myself and the way that you created me, the things that you created me to do, and the way that you work through me, I'm at awe. And I said myself because I cannot speak for anyone else. I can only imagine the similarities. But, Father God, I just thank you for being such a loving God. Thank you for being a God that you create something that you love and you let us know. I will never lose you. There's nothing that you want that I will not provide for you. I will act as your Father. And you are our role model. You are our role model. We see you sent us the message. You sent Jesus to tell us these are the things, this is how it works, so that you know. And he said, I'm going to send a comforter. I'm not going to leave you down here by yourself. I'm going to have someone. I'm going to send my spirit, my Holy Spirit, to dwell in you to help you. How great is that? And Father God, I just thank you this morning. I ask that you bless every mother and daughter around the world. Every father and son, your creation of the entire family, that we could come together in unity. And I ask that you bless the world today. Bless the president, bless the cabinet, bless all of the leaders from the churches, any organization that we know that we have a responsibility because you placed us, allow us to be in different situations of leadership. For a reason, to help others and not to just help ourselves. So I thank you this morning, and I send love out to mothers and daughters around the world. Thank you, Father. Again, I'm your host. I am Dr. Bessie, and I am here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. I just love it. You know, he says, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, if you say it and you believe it, you shall receive it. That's in Mark 11, 23 and 24. You know, say it, believe it. So when I get up on Saturday morning, I know that I'm going to be talking to mothers and daughters around the world because the Internet has been allowed to be placed in our possession so that we would have that outreach. That we wouldn't have to do like Jesus. We wouldn't have to walk everywhere. You know what I mean? If you don't have the money to buy a plane ticket to go or don't have a car, now you can talk on the Internet on your phone. Like now people can call in 347-539-5078 and they can listen to the radio. They can go on their computers. They got laptops. Tablets. You name it, smart TV. So the reach is so great. So there's no telling who's out there that's listening on Saturday morning. And I know when we go and look at the stats from the archives of people going back at night and listening or during the day that, you know, run across the show on Facebook or go to our website. It is so many people that's going there and listening at their own times if they miss it on Saturday mornings. And that is just amazing to me. It is amazing because I'm honored to get up on Saturday morning. We'll be doing this 8 years in December the 10th. And sometimes it just really blows my mind that I've actually stuck to this thing for 10 years. I haven't had a choice. But, you know, the time just seems to just have gone by. And you get up on Saturday morning speaking to someone about a week or so ago, and the lady said to me, you have almost 8 years of content on radio? And I said, well, yeah. And she was just like amazed. She said, 8 years of content? That's a lot of content. You know, people use that content. And I'm like, yeah, well, I never really thought about it. I just get up on Saturday morning and do what I do. And I was not very happy doing it in the beginning. In the beginning, I was, fighting it and didn't want to do it because I like my Saturday morning sometimes to lay back and relax or go to the beach and sit all day and read and, just get out and do, drive the RV around or go bike riding. That was my Saturday morning. But then all of a sudden, God said, no, this is what I want you to do. I try to do it on a Monday night. I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to do it when I get ready to do it because I don't want to, mess up my Saturdays and my weekend, get through it every Saturday morning. Come on. But you know what? It didn't work very well for me trying to change the date to Monday night. When I first started out, I was at Monday night at 7 o'clock. And this was years ago. This was not the mother and daughter roundtable. This was, a mother and daughter radio was another network, and I was doing it on Monday night at 7, and then I got tired of doing that because what? I was at the office trying to run the organization, the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center, and then having to rush home trying to get on the radio by 7 o'clock. That didn't work. So I decided I wasn't going to do it at all. I didn't have the time. But then how do you tell God you don't have the time when he is the time keeper, he is the time maker, he is the one? So that's a few spankings, I'm back on board and it's going on 8 years. So, I am here to tell you, if God tell you to do something, mothers and daughters, you might as well go ahead and do it. It'll be better for you in the long run. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the Roundtable with mothers and daughters around the world. Our stimulating topic this morning is good news to a mother of faith. Good news to a mother of faith. Get your pen and paper and your favorite drink, as I always say, and sit back and relax. And I've released myself to the Holy Spirit, and we're just going to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. When we're talking about good news to a mother of faith, that should just make you think. You should be very curious about what the Holy Spirit is going to teach you this morning. If you need to get in contact with me, you can contact me by email at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's DRBESSIE, the number 1@gmail.com. Again, our stimulating topic this morning is good news to a mother of faith. Now let's look at last week. Last week was very interesting. It was exciting. I had some revelations from it. We talked about God's compassion for mothers and daughters. And when we were talking about compassion, a lot of stuff came out of that. Forgiveness. How can you be compassionate if you're holding something against somebody? But the main thing that we looked at, compassion comes out of love. You've got to love someone. And I'm talking about godly love, to forgive them and to be compassionate. And we had Deborah on last week. She was sitting at the round table with us. And Deborah said, she had had an incident with a young lady and she, was trying to hold on to some things. And you can go back and listen to it. It was last week's show. And during the show, she realized, I need to forgive this lady because the lady was waiting on her. She's been giving the lady a ride to the program on Saturdays that she was working in, and she wasn't sure she was going to give the lady a ride. But after listening and talking and discussing about compassion, being compassionate, she realized, I need to text this lady and let her know I'm coming to pick her up. I need to let this go. And that's what we need to do. And we got to let things go. I remember the time I used to hold on to things, and I would sit down and try to figure out how I was going to make it right, how I was going to tell them what I needed them to know. Just had a whole plan of action. I thank God to this day, I am not that person. Now, when something comes up, I quickly set it aside. I move on because it's not that important. It's not that important in the scope of life for me. I'm not going to let that hold me up. I'm not going to let the enemy use someone else to try to block my way because they don't know that the enemy is using them. That's the sad part about it. And the enemy will use me, will use you, and we have to be very careful. That's why I try to stay as close to my mission in life as possible because we can get distracted and we can have hard feelings and it will build up to unforgiveness and not being compassionate with people. We all are human. We all make mistakes. And it comes to the point where you can just forgive. And that's what I say. And forgiving doesn't mean you have to be in the person's face. Forgive them in their heart. I forgive people, pray for them, send them love and peace. I get up and send them love and peace, tell them I love them, think about them, bless them, and I move on. But that doesn't mean, you know, that the person has to be in your space and in your life at that time because people come for a reason or a season or a lesson. And as we spoke last week, sometimes when you're just walking down the street and you just look at somebody and your eyes meet and you smile, that could be the smile that you need that day to give you the strength to do what you need to do or to keep going. Doesn't necessarily mean that person is going to be in your life. You may not ever see them again. But they were there at that moment as God planned it to give you the smile that you needed to let you know that God loves you. God sent that person across your path. And it's okay. Keep moving. So today we're going to talk about good news to a mother of faith. Now we're coming from the book Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. That's a book that God had me to write down. He just wanted me to write down some messages to mothers and daughters. And I did, and it ended up being a book. It's called Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. You can find it on Amazon. You can go to our website, mdbn.org. That's mdbn.org. M is in mother, D is in daughter, N is in Nancy, and B is in bonding, N is in Nancy.org. mdbn.org. Getting ahead of myself. Okay. Now, on page 41, we were talking about that God was speaking a mother's faith. And when a mother is petitioning her prayer to God, she's going to come with her heart, her feelings, her emotions, everything. She's coming humbly before God as she petitioned her prayers for her daughter or her son. She's laying down all of her pride. She's willing to give up everything, all things, for the healing of her child. That's a mother. A mother's going to come to God, and she's not playing. She's coming, God, look at here now. This is my child. You gave him to me, and this is what's happening, and I need you to help me. I need you to heal my child. You know, we can be going along. Life can be just grand. Everything's fine. You know, when you have the money, you got the job, you got the people that supposedly like you, and everybody's laughing, and things are good, and then all of a sudden your daughter's sick. None of those things mean anything to you at that moment. You would give up the job, the money, the house, the cars. You would give it all up for the healing of your daughter. Because then reality will come into play and you will notice these things has no value. But my daughter's health, my daughter's body, her life is at stake. Now you're focused and you go before God and you plead God, have mercy upon my daughter. God, day in, day out, you're going to petition God for that healing. See, Jesus heals us all. We go and we get it. He's got it. He heals us all. But you got to believe that and receive it when you need it. And when a mother is fighting for her daughter, sometimes you just can't think. You get just really frustrated. And then Satan wants to just come in on you, and he just wants to beat you up and enter into your intimate conversation and tell you, oh, it's not going to work. God is not going to do it. No, it's too late. She's going to die. And so you got to fight those battles too. And you got to hold on to your faith. And you read in the Bible and you're talking to God. And you said, but Jesus said, Lord, Jesus said. Jesus said, by his stripes, ye were healed. And she's a ye. She's a part of that. And a mother will stay up night and day on her knees talking to God, keeping her prayer, her petition in front of him. And this can go on for months. This can even go on for years. Does it have to? No, because the healing is already done. But where's the faith? I don't have the answers to that. Lord knows I go through it myself. I remember I was petitioning God for, you know, I knew I was healed, but the manifestation of that healing to appear when the enemy tried to attack my feet and tried to attack my face, you know, we constantly go, and we have to wait. We just have to pray and trust God. You just got to hold on to your faith. That's all I can tell you. You just have to hold on to your faith. If I had the answer, Lord knows I'd give it to you. The only thing I know is Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Jesus said, have faith in God. Go in and pull out all the red letters that Jesus said and read them sometime. Just read what Jesus said. Because he came to teach us the way. So when a mother is in need of a healing for her daughter, she'll petition her family, her church, her friends, and even a stranger, because she's on a mission. She's on a mission because she knows that God says, where two or more come together, I'm in the midst. But if two agree on anything on the earth, I will do it. Jesus said, you know, my Father will do it for you. So that reminds me of the Canaan woman and her daughter. She didn't get offended. She went to Jesus. She said, oh, Jesus is coming through. And I am going, and I believe that if I could get to him, he is going to heal my daughter. She didn't even have her daughter with her. She was going to Jesus. Her daughter was at home, but she believed that if I could just get to him, he can heal my daughter. Now, it was the most amazing thing. You know, most people, now you think about it, and I get in more details in a few minutes, but most people, when you go and ask someone for something and they say something to you that you don't think is appropriate, you get offended. And once you get offended, you're going to walk away all angry and huffing and puffing and decided that, you know what, forget it. You don't have to do it. I didn't think he was going to do it anyway. You know, get an attitude about it. But this particular lady, she didn't have time for that. My daughter is dying. I don't care what you say. I believe that you can heal her, and that's why I'm here. No, I'm not a part of the group that's supposed to be getting the healing. Yes, you know, but I'm here. I'm here. Because I know you have compassion. I know that you are a man of God. I know that God sent you. And I'm here petitioning you to have mercy on my daughter. So when you come before God in the name of Jesus and you believe that he will do what he said, then you have to hold on to that. You have to hold on to that faith. No matter what happens, no matter what someone says, no matter what the doctors say, you've got to hold on to it. And that's that test of faith, boy. I tell you, that's where you gotta, whew, that's where it comes in at. And this morning I wanted Cynthia to use this time to share her personal story, but she's not on this morning. Like I said, she's at she's going to support a family member. Her sister lost her son. So she's going to that funeral this morning for those of you that it came on late. But I wanted her to share her story because she went through that personally with her son. And I know she would tell you that it was not easy. And the cry and out to God and pleading. But I can tell you the end results after a couple years. This was 2 years he went through that. He believed, she believed, and he was standing, she was standing, you know, his father was standing, you know, we all were standing, all in prayer. And now he's cancer free. You see, but it was 2 years. 2 years of going back and forth, the chemo. Now, you know she went through something. You know she was before God, petitioning him. Father, this is my son. You gave him to me. I'm standing on your word, and I'm believing that he's healed. How many times have she said that? Only she could answer that. But I wanted her to share that this morning. But I went through the conversations with her. And so therefore, and relate, I can relate to some of those things that she went through. So when sickness attacked a mother's daughter, she would find someone to help her with her faith and trust issues. But first and foremost, she will first want to call on the name of Jesus. She will find someone to help her and her trust issues. She may take her daughter to the hospital and she may get professional help and they may tell her, you know, this is it. There's nothing else we can do. In the meantime, you know, she's seeking God. She's soliciting prayers from those that she know. But once a mother recognized that her help for healing comes from only one source, and that's the blood of Jesus, all she needs then is a witness where two or more come together and agree. God is in the midst, and he's going to do what he says. But what I like about this is that the canon woman, she came in and she said, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And I want you to take the demons out of her. But see, Jesus didn't say anything. And this story kind of always, I'm always thinking about this story because I'm thinking, she's talking to him, and she's saying, Lord, you know, have mercy upon me. And he's sitting there, and he didn't even answer. Now, if you walk up to someone, and you are asking them to help you, and they don't even answer. Just put yourself in that position for a moment. Just use your imagination. You know they heard you. You know you're speaking the language. But yet they don't respond. They don't move. Didn't indicate that it looked better. Most time people would get offended and walk away. But she didn't get offended. She kept right on. She kept right on pressing her way. And even the disciples said to the Lord, now this is something that you have to think about. They said, Lord, send her away. She's bothering us. Wow. You don't want to be in a position where the disciples would come between you and God through Jesus Christ. Because when you come in right now, you don't want nobody to tell Jesus, send Bessie away. She's bothering us. And so I'm thinking, what was Jesus thinking? When someone tells him, just send her away. She's bothering us. Like they didn't want to be bothered. But then he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. That's in Matthew 15:22-25. So that's going to show you prayer and worship alone with your faith will move God. It's an act of faith, believing. She was going to believe, I am not leaving. You're going to help me. I'm not going anywhere. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. But I want to go back up here where he said he cannot give the children's bread to the dogs. Now, I'm telling you, how many people could have stood that? The dogs. You calling me a dog? You know, you wouldn't even expect that to come out of Jesus' mouth. But there's a reason why he said it. No, I don't know the reason. I'm not trying to tell you I know the reason. But there was a reason. And I believe it was really to test, this is my opinion, to test the level of her faith, which she really stand for her daughter? Would she be willing to take what we would take as an insult? And I'm sure Jesus didn't mean to insult her because that's not the person that he is. So therefore, I don't know why he said the dogs. But she didn't care. She said, but oh Lord, even the dogs deserve the crumbs under the table, from under the master's table. So, whatever you want to do, Lord, I don't have to have the bread. You don't have to give me a slice. I don't have to have the first cut. I don't have to have the centerpiece where it's moist and all warm and good. I'll take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs. I know the crumbs have more power in it than I need. I'll take the crumbs. That's why he say, how great is thy faith? Your faith is what moved God. And the good news is the faith of a mother. Being a mother is not an easy job. It's certainly not easy. You may have a 9 months that's easy. You may be walking around. Everything's good. The pregnancy is good. You feel the baby moving. He says, oh, everything is good. When is the baby due? You know, people will, when they come to you, they always want to know, oh, when is the baby due? What are you having? You know, that's about the gist of it because they see you pregnant and those are two questions they want to know, when and what are you having. But oh, when that first pain hit, when the first pain hits you, you get a new reality. You get a wake-up call and it's on at that moment. And you will go through an experience, and each woman has her own unique experience. Now, I've heard some women say, oh, I didn't have any pain at all. I just, went through, and I'm like, good for you. That is not my story. I knew. I was like, Lord, I get through this. I don't want to have any more babies. I'm done. You know, but maybe it was because of me, because I gained too much weight. I was eating. I was just in my mind. I said, you know what? I'm eating for two. And I thought that gave me permission to eat as much as I want, whatever I want. And I went from 121 pounds. Gained 53 pounds. Can you believe that? Because of what? Ignorance. So, of course, I went through having to lose weight, water weight, before I could even deliver the baby. Lesson learned. Lesson learned. But it is not a picnic. But when you have that child, and when that baby is crying or that baby is not responding in some way, the way that you think, she can't talk to you, that's when you start. I'm telling you, you are in a position where you got to call on God. God, I don't know what's wrong with this baby. My baby is crying. I don't know what's wrong. You take her to the doctor. You're seeking. You know, a mother will start in a rage because what? I need to know what's wrong with my baby. And then you raise the baby. You think in 18 years, okay, she's done well. She's graduated from high school. She's going on the way. My job is done. No, your job is not done. Now you're beginning to parent. You're raising the child for 18 years. And then after 18 years, now you start parenting the child. Because with my daughter, I was like, okay, thank God she made it through high school. She didn't get pregnant. We're good. All right, my job is over. At the graduation, I just felt like 100 pounds just lifted off of my shoulders, probably more than that. And I just felt light. I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. Now, she can move into another. I don't know what I was thinking. She can move into another arena. I thought she's going to college, and you know, now I'm free. No, you're not free. You are never free. Once you become a mother, you are always a mother, and there's different levels that you will experience with your child as they grow and as they increase in age and in life experiences. You are never free. You start parenting. Then she wants to get married. She got married. Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, well, now she's married with her husband. No, you're not free, because that's another level to the relationship. And even to this day, my daughter has two children, and I'm still mothering. And then you take on the responsibility of your grandchildren, because you still have to be, that's why they say grandmother, because you're still going to be a mother. And you're still praying to this day. Not only do I pray for my daughter, her husband, I have to pray for my grandkids as well as everyone else. You know, we can't be selfish, not my four and no more. You know, I pray for the world, family members. But God is saying, I bless you, your children, and your children's children. So my focus is the blessing. I've got to be right in order for the blessings to flow from me, from God to me, through my children. And mother, that's the responsibility that we have. We just can't just all of a sudden say, you know, I'm done. How many times have I heard mothers come to me? I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and I have clients that come in. And how many mothers have I heard say, I'm through. I washed my hands. I am done. I don't have nothing else to do with her. I don't call her. I just let her go on her way. You know, I'm just done. No, you're not. You're talking, but you're not. because she's still in your heart and you're still in hers. God chose that particular daughter for you and chose you to be her mother. And ain't nothing you can do about that. You can't change it because you did not what? You didn't create it. You did not put this together. God placed that child into your womb and said, you are chosen to be her mother. Now, God is watching. But you think for one moment he gave you his child and you could just say, I quit. No, he's watching you. And there is no perfect mother and there is no perfect daughter. Let's get that clear. But he's watching you from the intent of your heart. See, it's in your heart. And you can't, as a mother, I just feel that the mother is responsible for the mother and daughter relationship. And I've had clients say to me, but Dr. Bessie, how in the world am I responsible for the relationship? She's in it too. Yeah, she's in it. But you have more wisdom. You have years of experiences that she doesn't have. And you have to be the one to make it right. You have to work on it because you're the mother. Sometimes I tell the mother, I said, you know, when they're in counseling, I can tell whoever called, if the mother calls to bring the daughter's sitting there like, I don't want to be here. And the mother's like, I'm bringing her to you, and I want you to fix her. And I'm just going to sit back and watch you fix my daughter. No, that's not the way it is. No one can fix your life. Don't get caught up in that. No one can fix your life but you. But as long as you are the parent over the child, you have an influence over that child. And believe it or not, some things that you're seeing comes from what the child has picked up over the years. There's 86,400 seconds in a day. And if you have your daughter with you for 24 hours, and let's just say that you're in the same room sitting there, or whatever, just at the same house, you're moving around, you're doing what you're doing, your daughter's 3 years old, she's watching you. She's hearing your conversation. She's hearing when you tell somebody one thing and do another. She's watching you, and all of those things, she's recording those things. She's not, her subconscious mind is recording those things. So when she grows up and starts doing those things, you tend to forget that you've done those things prior to. Think about it. Now, let's just say, I use Miss Jones all the time when I'm doing this illustration. You have a phone call and you're talking, mother, to a friend, and you talk about Miss Jones and how Miss Jones get on your nerves, and Miss Jones is this, Miss Jones is that, and of course Miss Jones is your church member, and your daughter is just playing, minding her business. You think she's over there playing with her dolls or whatever, and so you're having a conversation, but she's listening. She's in the vicinity of hearing what you are saying, so she's listening. She can hear you, and her subconscious mind is recording those things. So now you're saying how Mrs. Jones is getting on your nerves, but then you go to church, and when you get to church, you see Mrs. Jones, and the first thing you do is embrace Mrs. Jones like you like her. Hi, Mrs. Jones. How you doing? You look so pretty today. Now you got a three-year-old standing right beside you going, but that's not what she said on the phone. She said she didn't like Mrs. Jones. She said Mrs. Jones get on her nerves. And so mommy lied. That's her perception. See, now she has a perception of you as a liar. And I don't mean to make that so bold, but I'm just saying it. She's thinking, Mommy lied, because you've told her, always tell me the truth. Mommy, do not lie to Mommy. See, you're contradicting what you're saying to your child because you're trying to train her to do the right thing, but she's looking at you and you're doing just the opposite. So then she's saying, Mommy lied. So now she's in kindergarten. And she says one thing to you and does another. And you said, but you lied to me. But she's thinking in her mind, but Mommy, you lied. You said you like Mrs. Jones, and you don't. You see what I'm saying? All of that come in to play. And you said, well, Dr. Fletcher, how does that come in when the topic is saying, you know, good news? Let's look at my topic. I just want to make sure I pull it out. Good news to a mother of faith. It comes in because all of that comes together when you need to use your faith to petition God. And sometimes when you're getting ready to go before God, you got to repent. That's why I'm telling you these stories. We are not perfect mothers. We have things that we've done wrong, we've thought, we've said, we've seen, you know, we looked at stuff. We need to clean ourselves up before we go to God. Because if you go to God feeling guilty about something, then God can't move on your behalf, because you can't feel guilty about something and be in faith at the same time, because you got doubt. I don't know if God will do it for me. Lord knows I have not been the best mother, Lord, but I'm coming before you right now. No, that's good. But you've got to repent. He said if you repent, he'll forgive you and he'll forget it. Just remember. It's like going someplace. You just got to clean yourself up. You got to clean yourself out. And you got to do it in the name of Jesus. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That gives you the position. That puts you in the place that you could stand before God. And you could feel, I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I've gone to your Son, Father. I've asked him to be my Lord and Savior. I've asked him to forgive me for my sins. And I bring everything that I've done, and I lay it right here before you. I put it at your feet. And I'm asking you to forgive me, to clean me up. Give me a pure heart, a clean heart, Father. Because, Father, I need you. I'm bringing my daughter before you. And as a mother, I come and I petition you by faith. And see, once you believe that God is going to hear you, and you believe that he's going to do what he said, by his stripes, she's healed, and you hold on to that, that's exactly what you're going to get. But it is the holding on. It is the holding on that you are challenged. Satan, why are you holding? Why are you waiting? When I say holding, I mean believing, holding on to your faith, knowing the word, saying the word, doing it every day, and you just, you know in your heart, you're reminding God, God, I'm still believing. I have hope. I have hope. I know that you will do what you say. And I know faith is now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is, it says. You don't want to leave the now out, because now means right now faith is. But you've got to be prepared for the challenge. the temptations. Even Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted. And if Jesus can be tempted, you know we are going to be tempted. And you can say what Jesus said. It is written, thou shalt not tempt thy Lord, thy God. You said, but that was Jesus. That's not me. But once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, extension of Jesus. He said, these things I do, you can do, and even greater things. So what does that mean? That means that you are a part of me. We're all in the same image of God. So you have to feel that you are righteous through Jesus Christ, not through your body or your own thinking or yourself, but through Jesus, you are righteous. He covers you. That was the whole purpose of it. So salvation means exactly what it says. You're saved. It's a total package. It's your health, it's your wealth, it's your prosperity. And he says, even as your soul prospers. That's what God says, that I wish above all things these things for you. So why would you not feel, now that I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I repent for everything, now you can go and petition for your daughter. And that's the good news to a mother of faith. And every time Satan comes, you have to use the word of God. That's where the power is. Get thee away from me. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Can you imagine? You have to do it all day. Just keep doing it. I resist you, Satan. I resist you in the name of Jesus. And every time you say, I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, just imagine seeing them flying off. Something just came to my mind. I don't know if you can remember this cartoon. You'd have to have a little age on you. It's called The Roadrunner. The Roadrunner, you know, pew! See, that's the way Satan would do. You know, I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Pew! He has to leave. He will flee. Flee means to go fast. He will flee from you. You said, but oh, how many times do I have to do it? As many times as necessary. I don't know. I have to do the same thing. I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that I have arrived. I have arrived at a certain destination that Satan's not going to try to attempt his foolishness on me. No. As long as you're on this earth, he's going to try. Because his job is to keep you from getting back to the Father. His job is to bring the roadblock. See, Satan will mess with your children to distract you from what God sent you here to do. So while you're building your faith, mother, think about, why am I here? Why did God send me to this earth? You have a purpose, and it's not going to work and coming home, watching television, on the computer, on Facebook 24 hours a day. It's not that. God has a greater purpose. He sent us here to go throughout the world to teach the good news. The good news is to let people know, I prepared a way for you. I sent Jesus. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. You don't have to worry about where you're going to sleep. You don't have to worry about any of those things. I have prepared for you. Trust me. Don't get distracted. That's why I suited up, came down as the sun, so I could show you how to do it. And Jesus said what? I only do and say that which the Father tells me to do and to say. Because he knows that the power comes from God, through him, through us. So if Jesus has to say what the Father says, then what do you think we have to do? If we want the same results as Jesus, the miracles to perform in our life, we have to say what he said, the Father said. Don't go adding a word to it. Don't go adding emotions to it, crying, falling out on the floor, having a tantrum. That doesn't move God. Trust me, I can tell you that firsthand. I would cry and I would have a fit and I would go, oh God, where are you? But God, you said, oh God. And I would do that. And I would, and my thing was, but God, I'm a good person. And my daughter reminded me, she says, Mama, Jesus was a good person. And they crucified him. I mean, that just brought, see, that's what I like about my daughter. We have good conversations. She's forever helping me. We help each other to stay, you know, in tune with the word. And I said, and it was like a shocker. I was like, what? Because that was my defense. I wanted God to know I was a good person. Wasn't all that good. Because I couldn't be good. I make mistakes like everybody else. But, you know, that's what we do. We think, oh, we good. Nah, only good person is God. Even Jesus say, why does thou call me good? The only good person is the Father. So if Jesus says, don't call him good, oh, come on. Then how are we going to say, I'm a good person? Just be a doer of the word, and that in itself will be enough. Follow the word as Jesus has given it to us. But I would cry out. And I would have these tantrums and, I mean, sometimes cry till my eyes are just puffed. Oh, I was just like, oh, God, I don't know if I can handle this, God. Oh, God. And I remember this was one night I had cried about something. I can't even remember what it is now or what it was. But I remember sitting on the side of the bed and I thought, well, I cried, my eyes puffed, they're about closed. And God said, now when you finish all of that, I will talk to you. But I want you to know that crying and getting emotional doesn't move me. That doesn't move me, Bessie. And I was so shocked. I was like, he said, now, I want you to lay down, and I want you to go to sleep. I remember rolling back on the bed, and that was it. Around 3 o'clock, he woke me up. Go to the bathroom, and when you come back, I want to talk to you. And that's when God explained to me. Crying, emotion, being emotional, that's nothing for me. I'm watching you, but that doesn't work. But when you're in faith and you believe in my word and you stand on that, then I move. And that was a valuable lesson. So mothers, that's the only way you're going to get God to move on your behalf is to believe him and stay in faith and wait. He will come. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. We'll see you next week. Just remember, stay in faith, and God will move on your behalf. Bye-bye.